You are listening to the Aging Starts Now podcast, where it's all about responding with confidence to the legal, financial, and personal challenges created by a disability, unexpected illness, or aging in general. Join us weekly as elder law attorneys Barbara McGinnis and Chris Johnson, along with other members of the Johnson McGinnis Elder Care Law and Estate Planning team, talk about the tools, techniques, strategies, and services that will make the elder care journey easier for everyone involved. Get ready, because aging starts now.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Green. I'm one of the elder care coordinators here at the firm. Today, we're talking about identity theft and specifically passwords. And you know I need this. So joining me today is my friend Jim Hughes at Certified Identity Theft Risk Management Specialist. He's certified in cybersecurity. Hey, welcome, Jim. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be with you. This is an important subject for your listeners and for everyone.
Absolutely. Well, and me especially. I don't know if I have shared this with you, but my body might be a millennial, but my brain just does not work that way. The tech scene and a lot of the identity theft and the passwords that come with it, I definitely need this. So, a couple of things I wanted to ask you. First, tell us about Certified Identity Theft Risk Management.
Well, that is a designation. 19 years ago, I started the company Business Risk Solutions, and I started studying and wanted to get designations and certifications, if you will, in the field of IT security, in particular, starting with identity theft. So a CITRMS designation, I'm giving you the acronym, Certified Identity Theft Risk Management Specialist. I've studied and have the certification in the basic class and in the advanced class. And then on top of that, a certification in cybersecurity with the intent of being able to deliver substantive content to people to train them on what to do and not to do when they're on their devices.
That is good to know. That's interesting. So I love the monogram or the shortened version. That's great, because cybersecurity, it's one of those things that you may not understand until something bad happens to you. You know, I have been hacked not too long ago, and I've had clients that have been hacked. I've had clients that their identity's been stolen. So how common is that from your perspective?
Well, the problem is that I see it on a daily basis because I am the, if you will, the focal point of trying to fix problems. And of course, fixing an identity theft or a cybersecurity, such as ransomware and malware after the fact, is a much more difficult problem. And so I'm running around trying to do my best to get to as many people, Caitlin, as I possibly can, to give them the message on what to do and not to do, because 85% of identity theft comes from human error. And cybersecurity breaches such as ransomware and malware have the same statistic. It's basically human error. So I'm trying to teach what to do and not to do in order to avoid that risk. So,
okay. So human error, that is, maybe weak passwords or repetitive passwords?
Oh, I like you launching right into that first subject of passwords and how common it is for people to get hacked due to weak passwords is the question.
Well, that's my personal problem. I'm guilty.
Well, we all are at some point, Caitlin. And the answer to that question is it's the easiest way to get access to your accounts. That could be your credit cards, that could be your debit card, that could be your bank accounts. So a strong password is extremely important today. And let me tell you how important it is. I have a computer program that if you use 10 numbers, just 10 numbers in your password, I can break that password with a computer program in 5 seconds. If you have a password with 10 numbers and letters, just a combination of numbers and letters, but 10, I can crack that password with my computer program in 34 days. If you have a password with 16 numbers, symbols, uppercase and lowercase letters and no words, 16 characters, that same computer program, it will take 152,000 years to break that password. So I always end up in presentations is saying, how many characters? Reminder, how many characters do you need in your password? And what kind of words do you put in your passwords? And none is the answer, and 16 is the number of characters for obvious reasons.
Okay.
That's well, 16. You know, but go ahead.
I was going to say, I've really been annoyed at some of the logins that say it has to be so many characters, it has to include this many symbols, it has to have this many capital, this many lowercase, a number, non-repetitive, you know, and they put all this these parameters around what your password can be. I get really annoyed because the more complicated I make it, the less likely I'm going to remember it.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you use a password creator, coming from maybe a password storage company, you'll never remember it. So you have to have it stored someplace. Well, storing it in the cloud is a problem. For example, LastPass, which is a storage facility, had a breach. Mm. So storing it in the cloud is not a guarantee that you won't lose all of your passwords and logins. And of course, then they've got a hold of you if they've got all of your information. We all have lots of passwords, lots of logins as well. So 16 characters, and there is an easy way when you're ready for me to jump into that, Caitlin, for the person to remember their password yet have a strong one.
Yeah, I've seen these. I saw one not too long ago. It was a little like notebook where you write down all your passwords, and I thought, well, that could be really helpful, but that also could be really devastating. So yeah, give us some tips and tricks.
Well, I'd be happy to. A strong password is essential, just an essential front door for guarding your information. So if to build a strong password, I suggest you take a movie scene, a line of scripture, or your favorite song, and take about 6 or 7 letters out of that favorite movie scene, if you will, and take the first letter of each of those words. Well, it doesn't form a word, but it gives you 6 or 7 characters. And I'll just use 6 for the sake of, or 7 for the sake of illustration here. So if you've got 7 words, the first letter of 7 words, that gives you 7 characters. Then you put 3 characters on the left-hand side of that. And that could be a forward slash, a number, or another capital or lowercase letter that you know, that gives you 10 characters. Then on the right-hand side of that core password, you put 3 characters again that you remember. And then if this is a password for BMO Bank, as an example, a bank account, then put BMO at the last 3 digits. Then you've got 16 characters, 13 of which you can use over and over and over and over again. And the last 3 you change to be respective to what account you have, if it's Home Depot or if it's Macy's or if it's a bank, et cetera. That works in getting you a 16 character password that you can remember.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. In my collegiate days, that's kind of how I studied. You know, you think the colors of the rainbow, Roy G. Biv.
Yes.
That's smart. Okay. And then you do an identifier that's specific to what you're doing. Okay.
Yes.
So I take it then that it's not necessarily awful to repeat your passwords as long as they are specifically done that way. So for instance, I could use that in your an example, like at the bank with the last 3 coded, use something else somewhere else and code it to what it is there too.
Yeah. So you've got 13 characters that is the same that you can remember. And then all you have to do is change the last three characters to make it different for each site that you have.
Okay. Well, then you don't feel the need to have to write them all down on a sticky note on your screen.
Exactly. Right. You're right.
Oh, that's good. Or I've heard that the most common password is password. Is that true?
It still is. Can you believe that? It's hard to believe, but you're right.
You'll be so proud of me, Jim. None of my passwords are password.
Oh, thank goodness. And the other key is no words in your password. Not your pet's name, not your mother's maiden name, not your your spouse's middle name. No words in your password. Only uppercase, lowercase, symbols, and numbers. And that will keep, that'll give you a strong password.
So it needs to be more of a passcode, not necessarily a password. Maybe Right. Maybe you should lead that charge. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, so you know, in years past, you'd put in your password and then it would have a security question. And the security question would be where you were born, your favorite pet, your favorite musician, your mother's maiden name. Well, recently I read an article about social media. When people take quizzes on social media, a lot of those are targeted. What's your favorite pet? What's your mother's maiden name? And they'll tell you, you know, your diamond structure is this, or your doppelganger is that. But in that quiz, you're listing those answers.
You know, my response is lie. Don't put your mother's real maiden name in. Don't put your favorite pet's real maiden name. Don't put your address of the first house you lived in high school or grade school, because that's trackable on the internet. So yeah. Lie. This is a chance for you to lie ethically to protect yourself.
Yeah.
So that's my answer to that. But go ahead.
This article that I was reading, I mean, it literally is just realize when you're being phished. Realize that the more information that you put in, the more that is gathered that can be used. And it's like you said, it's you can use reasoning of deduction, and like your program, it makes it easier to figure everything out.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And just remember, TikTok is owned by the Chinese, and they're gathering information on all of us. Any information you put in TikTok is going into a database to find out the way you think. And the way you think can be used against you in a social engineering caper, if you will, to extract money from you. So just be careful where you put your personal information. And we're running out of time here, but Caitlin, I'd like to just mention two-factor authentication, if I could.
Please do.
You know, a strong login and a strong password are the first lines of defense, but it doesn't stop there. And that is two-factor authentication or multi-factor authentication. It's where you log into your bank and you put in your login and your password, and the bank sends you a text message saying, here's 6 digits, put those in before we let you in. That's two-factor authentication. That puts error between you and the internet, and as a result of that, strongly protects your position. Because if anybody's watching you and they're online, or they've got malware in your computer, they can easily go into your bank accounts and sweep those accounts. So mm-hmm. It's real important to use two-factor. The other point is, in the cybersecurity world, three-factor authentication is on its way, just so your listeners know. And that's a third factor that is similar to two-factor, but it just adds another layer of protection. And it's just remember, in summary, I know we're short on time right now, but security is not convenient.
Right.
And convenience is not secure. So we're going to have to always add extra elements here to protect our interests. So
that's a really good point. I wanted to ask you, have you seen the new Jason Statham movie about, it's called Beekeeper. Have you seen it?
I've heard about it. I have not seen it personally. And it's all about identity theft.
Yes, it blew my mind. So I recommend you watch it. It's pretty good. Of course, Jason Statham, you know, he's an active actor. He's, you know, fighting and and he's good. It's a lot like his other movies, but the opening scene is a retired lady who gets a call and falls for the scam, and one little tidbit of information ruins her whole financial security. Absolutely. And also, her name was associated with an account that was a nonprofit where she was, I can't remember if she's on the board or she volunteered, but she was doing good mission work with a nonprofit, and that was hacked as well. And it talks about some of the professional tricks and hackers. And so when I was, when you were talking about authentication like that, that's exactly right. Security is not convenient. And if it is convenient, it's not secure. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah,
I think you should brand that. Maybe put that on a coffee cup or a T-shirt.
I like that idea. That's a great marketing idea.
Absolutely, because that is spot on, Jim.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak. I can tell that we're right at the mark right now. I have other tips that I can give to you in a few seconds here.
Okay. Yeah, please do.
Just for people to think about. Go to your phone and block callers that are not in your contacts on your phone. Block them. That keeps the trash from calling you. Don't give away any personal information out over the phone, period, to anyone, even if you know who they are. Don't give it out over the phone. Never transfer money to someone or some company over the phone. PayPal or the IRS don't call you. Those are thieves that are calling.
Never give access. Security or Medicare.
Absolutely. Never give access to your devices over the phone. Never, ever give access to your computer by anyone who's calling you. And create a code between you and your grandchildren that must be used when they call for money.
Mm.
This will block a lot of the senior centers I speak at are being scammed by their so-called grandchildren calling them. AI, yes. I can produce a picture of your grandchild and their voice with AI.
I have seen that one, and it is scary. And they'll call and say, you know, Grandmammy, I have been arrested and something's wrong and I need bail money.
Yeah,
or exactly. Electric bill. Yes, I have seen that one. That's infuriating.
Oh, it's terrible. But anyway, so thank you, Caitlin, for the good, vigorous conversation. Hopefully this has been helpful to your listeners. And I look forward to the next time that I can give a little bit of a few tips and ideas on how to protect their personal identifiable information.
Absolutely. Will you tell our listeners and people that are interested in learning more how to reach you, maybe website, email?
Yes, I can be reached on LinkedIn, Jim Hughes at Business Risk Solutions. My email address is jim@businessrisksolutionsplural.net. And my phone number is 847-710-1030. That's 847-710-1030. I have offices in Nashville and in Chicago, and I'd be happy to help anyone understand how to protect themselves better.
That is great. You know, Jim, one of the biggest frustrations that I have as a gerontologist and coordinating care here is that I feel like the retiree population is so targeted with scams, with identity theft, with whatever. It just infuriates me that seniors are the target of most of this. So I really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be on the air with you. And I hope this has been meaningful to your listeners.
Absolutely. We're a life care planning law firm. We help families respond to legal and financial challenges caused by chronic illness or disability of an elderly loved one. So join us next week. We'll do another episode of Aging Starts Now.
Thank you for listening to the Aging Starts Now podcast. For more information about today's show, visit tn-elderlaw.com, click on the free resources tab, and then click on Aging Starts Now. You'll find the show notes there. And while you're at it, why not check out all the free resources available at tn-elderlaw.com? Document downloads, the Johnson McGinnis blog, educational videos, informative articles, helpful links, a TV show, and more. It's all there, free for the taking. If you enjoy listening to the Aging Starts Now podcast, please subscribe, rate the show, or leave us a review. It's easy to do on whatever app you use to listen. We would love your feedback on the show. Aging Starts Now. We'll be back next week with more candid discussions about the challenges created by aging, disability, and unexpected illness.